Hello and welcome to the Primary Care Respiratory Society podcast series. I'm Catherine Hickman, Executive Chair of PCRS. Each podcast you will hear insightful topics, interviews, experiences and conversations around a plethora of respiratory themes, as well as actionable tips and strategies for you to use in your day-to-day practices. Thank you for joining us and we hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome to this PCRS podcast, which is about asthma action plans. My name is Viv Nash. I am an asthma nurse specialist and I am delighted to introduce my co-presenter for this podcast, Amanda Roberts, who is a patient with asthma and a very, very active member of the PCRS education committees. Hi Amanda, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. And yeah, I not only am I a patient, I've had asthma all my life, so since I was about two, but my children have asthma as well. So you know, kind of a bit of experience.
Absolutely, indeed. And maybe we can draw on that experience in this podcast, not just about your own asthma, but I know you're keen to talk about asthma action plans for children as well. So thanks, Amanda. I'm going to dive straight on in with my very first question. This is about asthma action plans. So my question to you is, do you have an asthma action plan?
I do not. I've never, to my knowledge, had an asthma action plan. The nearest I got was once when I was hospitalised and I got something. But if it was called an asthma action plan, then I don't think I fully appreciated it. And obviously, as soon as your medication changes, then whatever's on that piece of paper changes. I've never had anything since. I certainly don't have a current one. And my children never had one either. So sadly, I think they all think I know what I'm doing, which of course isn't really true. None of us know what we don't know.
Yes, indeed. So let's just be clear about what we mean by an asthma action plan, just to help all the listeners understand exactly what we're talking about. So we're talking about a plan that helps a patient, a person with asthma, to understand their asthma, to know how to manage their asthma, how to recognise when things may not be going so well with their asthma, and to know what to do if their asthma is not doing as well as can be expected. And an asthma action plan also helps people to recognize an asthma attack, and it guides them around what to do during an asthma attack. And very often when we think about asthma action plans in that sort of healthcare professional world, we think about asthma action plans, for example, that are formatted in sort of green, amber and red zones. So the green zone being, this is you, this is your asthma, and these are the things that you do every day to look after your asthma. And we'd write in things about maybe preventer inhalers and reliever inhalers and triggers and how to avoid them. And then the amber section is all about when things aren't going quite so well, but somebody's not actually having an asthma attack. And the idea behind that amber zone is to help people recognize early when their asthma control is beginning to deteriorate, so that they can pick things up and take some action themselves before they actually have an asthma attack. And then the red zone is obviously that asthma attack zone that is actually something really serious is going on. You must take this seriously and take some action. And you've never had an asthma action plan. So how do you know how to manage your asthma, Amanda?
Well, the day-to-day stuff is really not that. Well, I don't think it's that difficult, especially bearing in mind how long I've had asthma. So the day-to-day stuff isn't too difficult. But as soon as you get to what you're calling the amber and the red zone, i.e. the woo, maybe, and then definitely you've got a problem, I'm not so good at, because I don't have to, I don't practice that every day. I don't do that every day. And so I would say that I'm not that good on those. I'm not very good at recognizing exactly when things are going wrong. And, you know, you have to do things like ring 111 and say, is it, isn't it? What's going on here? And of course, the other thing is that if it's these action plans are not just for you, they're for everyone else in your family, in your household, in your caring situation, your school, if you're a school child, maybe your work, if you're at work and you wish to share that with your colleagues. I mean, I'm not saying you have to, but you know, there may be situations where you may wish to share it for your own safety. So these action plans are a lot bigger, really, I feel, than just allowing the patient to have some kind of knowledge about things.
Mm. Yeah, it's fascinating listening to you talk. So, you know, what I'm hearing is that, you know, you're an expert patient, you're an expert in your own asthma, you know how to manage your asthma on a day-to-day basis. But actually, when it comes to knowing when things are going wrong and knowing what to do when things are going wrong, because you don't do that all of the time, that's something that you're not so familiar with and maybe is a particular area where an asthma action plan would be of use to you. Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Although you and I both know action plan, any kind of piece of paper that's shoved in your mitt by, you know, your consultant or your GP, and unless you have somewhere special to put it, you're never going to find it if there's a problem, are you? So it'd be really nice if the action plans were maybe electronic, so you can easily find them on the computer, or there will be some other way of easily finding it, because you can be sure that when you need it, you're never going to find it in amongst all the other paperwork.
Yeah. And I just think that's a really important point, particularly when, you know, we remind ourselves that the National Review of Asthma Deaths found that most of the people who died, who were included in the study, they died before they had time or before they thought to seek medical attention. And I think that's a really important reminder, isn't it, that actually knowing when it's okay to ask for help, knowing when you should ask for help, knowing it's, you know, knowing when you should call for an ambulance or go to an urgent care centre, these things are really important. And the result of people not knowing them, for some people, is actually very tragic, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, luckily, that hasn't happened to me, but I'm not being smug about it. Who knows?
Yeah. We had a little chat before we started recording this podcast, and you said to me that asthma action plans are a no-brainer.
Well, I think they're a no-brainer. I mean, where else would you, I mean, you get a, you know, when you have your prescription and it's dispensed, you have a little label on it saying, you know, use this once a day or whatever. You need something that incorporates all that and everything else about your management. I really can't understand why people don't do it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's really difficult, isn't it? It's really interesting. So if your next time you go for an asthma review, your healthcare professional said to you, Amanda, have you got an asthma action plan? Or you said to them, I don't have an asthma action plan, I'd quite like one, please. How would you like to be involved in that process? Would you like somebody just to say to you, of course, we'll do you an asthma action plan and we'll send it to you in the post, or we'll send it to you on a link or an email or something electronic? Or would you actually like for that asthma action plan to be discussed with you and for you to be involved in what's included within it?
Well, obviously, I'd like to have it all discussed with me. And there are several reasons for that. An asthma action plan has to stand alone so that anybody can pick it up and understand it. But there is no doubt about it. It always helps to have things actually talked through with you as you're going through. And as an asthma patient, one tends to make your own mind up about the medication. Yeah. So if someone says, you've got to have this, and you're not familiar with it, or you've tried it before and it hasn't worked, or any one of a million other things, you, if you're not that confident and you think that the person knows what they're talking about, you'll probably agree, partially because you don't want your care provider to give you a black mark. But then, you know, you may not do it. You may think, right, well, you may think that, but I'm not going to do that because. So I think it's really important that you, that it's a two-way conversation so that you get a shared understanding of how you're going to go forward, so that your GP records or whatever reflect that, and so that your the patient's or the carer's practice will also reflect it, so that you're working in harmony together.
Yes, indeed. I don't think I could have explained that any better myself. I just think that, you know, the way that you've explained that is absolutely right. Asthma action plans are, to summarise what you've said, they are an educational tool, but they need to be discussed between the healthcare professional and the person with asthma in order for that, A, that education to take place, but B, for the asthma action plan to reflect the needs and the wants and the desires of the person with asthma, but also the other people who may need to use that asthma action plan. So, you know, a husband or a wife or a parent or a teacher at school, for example. So, yeah, lots and lots to take away and to think about. And a shared decision-making process is absolutely vital if people are to use these asthma action plans and actually gain some benefit from them, and if they are to help them to manage their asthma. And Amanda, one more thing that I just want to touch on with you before we close this podcast today is you've talked about already in a sense types of asthma action plan, in the sense of whether there's a paper format or something that can be sent electronically. But one of the things I know you're also interested in is the idea that not everybody can read the same information. And I wonder if you could just talk to us about that in terms of asthma action plans for a moment, and about visual cues and pictures, etc.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think it's really important. We know this country is becoming much more multilingual than it used to be. And the other reason why I feel that something that can be interpreted without too many words is really useful is because I feel that asthma action plans have a place for helping children and young people. I mean, you've got to use just common sense about the age that this might be appropriate, but allowing children and young people to begin to take care of their own condition and, you know, to go forward with self-management and understanding. So I think that's really important. And so obviously you might have some kind of picture of an inhaler with something, you know, two puffs or, I mean, I don't know. I'm not brilliant on these things, but I really think it's important that we don't, you don't give a patient something that takes a lot of understanding. And I mean, I was reading today that they just literacy of its own, regardless of language, is not that great in this country. So you need all sorts of extra things up your sleeve to make this thing work.
Indeed. So and that kind of hits the nail on the head, really, doesn't it? It's not a, there is no one size fits all here, is there? It's very individualized.
That's right. Viv, I, do you know what? I absolutely have loved talking to you. You're somebody who really knows what she's talking about. And you know, it's been a pleasure, a real pleasure talking to you.
Well, that's very kind of you, Amanda. I have to say it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you too. I think this kind of brings us to the end of this podcast, but what I'd like to do is just summarise. I've made a note of some really important points that I've taken from you, and I'd like people listening to take away, because this is all about, you know, representing as much as possible what patients actually think. And, you know, that's why you're such an active member of PCRS, but first and foremost, asthma action plans are a no-brainer. Every patient with asthma should have one, no matter what their age, no matter who they are, no matter how expert they already are in their own condition. We as healthcare professionals should be asking our patients, do you have an asthma action plan? And if not, we need to make sure that they have one. And the main reason is that people need help to know what to do when the out of the ordinary things happen. We're very good at managing things on a day-to-day basis, but when something out of the ordinary happens, we perhaps don't know what to do, and we need to make sure that patients are supported and have guidance around that. The other point is that the process is a shared decision-making process. It's a discussion between the healthcare provider and the patient with asthma, and there's no one-size-fits-all. And it's all about the right asthma action plan for each individual person, whether it's one in another language, whether it's an easy read version, whether it's a pictorial version, whether it's very, very simple notes that you make for a patient or that a patient makes for themselves that can be documented. But for me, I think those points actually summarise what we've discussed today. And I just want to say thank you so much, Amanda, for joining us, for sharing your expertise and your experience with us. And I'd like to signpost everybody who's listening today to the PCRS Fantastic Resources, but also the Asthma and Lung UK Asthma Action Plan Resources, where there are a variety of tools available to support us. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. If you know somebody that may be interested in this podcast that is yet to become a member of PCRS, please direct them to the PCRS website and take the first step into inspiring more respiratory leaders.